the halachos of hatzmana b'mayim. That's going to be the topic. It's a beautiful, beautiful sugya. Of course, it begins with a Mishnah. Usually either begins with a Mishnah or a Gemara. The Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amid Beis tells us, Maisa she'asu anshei Tveria, that the people in Tveria did something that was wrong. What did they do that was incorrect? Ve'viu silon shel tzonein letoch ama shel chamin. They brought a pipe of cold water into an ama, a reservoir of hot water. Here there's a machlokas rishonim, what exactly is the case. Rashi, which we're not going to discuss, is of the opinion that what happened was that they mixed cold water into hot water. And that already, the Gemara on Lamed Tes Amid Beis tells us is an issue of hatmana. Tosis disagrees, and he says if cold water mixes into hot water, putting aside the halachos of Bishul, that's not called hatmana. Hatmana is going to be the following. The case of the Anshei Tveria is that there was cold water, let's say black is the cold water, and there was a larger pipe of hot water that surrounded, that it went into that pipe, and it was surrounded by that pipe of hot water. It was surrounded by that pipe of hot water, and that is going to be a case of where you're insulating the cold water with the hot water. So the Gemara tells us that they did something that was inappropriate, and as we learned in Halacha Hey and Halacha Aleph, that if you do that, the water is going to be usher. That's what the Mishnah says. It doesn't say it's hatmana, but the Gemara on Daf Mem Amud Beis tells us it's hatmana. In your booklet, you'll take a look in booklet number 3, hatmana number 3. There you have the Rana on the bottom that quotes a Tosas that learns the Pshat the way we said. And that is going to be the basic issue in regards to hatmana. The way we presented it is going to be the way the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah are going to understand it. There is going to be a nuance that the Chazon Ish learns in regards to this case that we're going to see shortly. Okay, so this is the Gemara. This is the Machlokas Rishonim. We're going to assume, like the Bali Tosis, that you have an issue of Hatmana when you have cold water that is inserted into hot water. And then in such a case, that would be considered Hatmana. And that would not be allowed to be done on Shabbos. Now, the details of why one is not allowed to do it on Shabbos could be found in the Taz, in a diuk that he makes in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef points out that the Tur says that la halacha, there is no problem on Erev Shabbos to put cold food on top of hot food. Last week we discussed a machlokas rishonim outside of Bishul. Of course, we're talking about in a case where it's not going to reach a state of Bishul. We had a machlokas rishonim. What's going to be the halacha about putting a pot on top of another pot on Shabbos itself? But on Shabbos itself, we discussed the halachos of hatmana there. What's going to happen if you take a pot and you put it on top of another pot on Erev Shabbos? So is that considered being matmin b'dover hamosif hevel if the bottom pot is hot? So then in such a case, it should be a shayla of hatmana b'dover hamosif hevel. So the Beis Yosef has a line that the Taz is going to pick up, which we're going to see inside of the Mishnah Berurah Halacha L'maisa. It says that that's not considered hatmana b'davar hamosif hevel. The reason why it's not considered hatmana b'davar hamosif hevel is because the pot that has the hot food on it, in such a case, the walls are going to be cooling off. And since the walls are cooling off the food, so then in such a case, that first pot is not considered hatmana bedavar hamosif hevel. That's how the Beis Yosef concludes simin reish nun ches. So if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to use the Shulchan Aruch first with the Taz and then see it in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mechaber says as follows, mutar lahaniach lebod yom, kli sheyesh bo davar kar al gabe kidei rechama, she'ein ze ketomen bedavar hamosif hevel. So again, last week we discussed what's going to be the issue about putting it on Shabbos. We're going to focus now on Erev Shabbos. Eventually, we're going to get back to Shabbos as well. But in terms of the Taz, his starting point is you're putting something that is cold on top of something that's hot. That's not considered Tomein B'davar Mosef Hevel. Why? So take a look at Taz, Sifkat and Aleph. Beis Yosef Kosev Atam, Sharei Ein Hakdei Racham Mosef Es Hevel. Adar Rabba, Choma Mismayit V'Holech. Ultimately, it's not something that is going to add heat. It's dying down. The kedera is absorbing the room temperature. So that's not considered a davar mosef hevel. Davar mosef hevel is a hot plate. A davar mosef hevel is gefes, it's remetz. Those are things that are mosef hevel. This is not considered a mosef hevel. That is the psak of the Taz from the Beis Yosef. And therefore, the Taz says, he's got a chumrah. Venerally, says the Taz, she'ein b'chlau zeh ela she'rotze lahatman l'shos harbe. So this heter that we said is only if you're doing something that is a long-lasting hatmana. She'efshar tisiskara hakdera kodem close as manahu. That ultimately you're not going to get the desired result if you're waiting to insulate it for Shabbos day, if it's going to get cooler and cooler and cooler. So everything's going to cool down. But if you want to do hatmana for a short period of time, but if you want to do it for a short period of time, that's going to be asur. That's considered hatmana bedavar hamaisif hevel. Now notice, Rabbosai, what comes out from the Taz is also transporting us to Hilchos Shabbos. Ba'atzmo. Hilchos Shabbos b'Shabbos, on Shabbos itself. No longer are we talking then only about Erev Shabbos, because he says that in such a case, it's going to be considered as if you're going to be doing Hatmana. That's going to be Usher on Erev Shabbos. Kal v'chomer, it's going to be Usher on Shabbos as well. Hence, the Mishnah Brura in Reish Nun Ches, at the end of Siv Beis, has a few innocuous lines, quoting from the Achronim. Kasvu Achronim, it appears towards the end of the Mishnah Brura Sifkat and Beis on page 59. Kasvu Achronim, she'asu likach kli, u'besocho mashkit sonein, it's prohibited to take a utensil, and inside of it is cold water. V'litchov oso b'shabes, l'kli, mole mayim roschin, mole mayim chayim. And put it inside another kli to heat up. Even if it can't come to Yatzalez. We're not talking about a shayla of bishul, we're talking about a shayla of hatmana. Shezel derech hatmana mamish. This is considered mamish hatmana. Kivan shekulo tamun b'socho. Since it's entirely tamun inside. Okay, so let's jump to halacha lemaisa on this siur, but we will go back to an analysis of the sugya, which will get us to other halacha lemaisa. From the Mishnah Brura, what emerges is, very practically, that if a person wants to remove the chill from a baby's bottle and wants to heat up a baby bottle on Shabbos, in such a case, that would not be permissible due to hatmana, unless, what were the Mishnah Brura's words? Kima shekulo tamun b'socho. Unless it's entirely submerged. If it's no longer entirely submerged, Rabosai, why is it not going to be hatmana? Hatmana b'mitzas, we'll follow the Ramah. What is Sfardim going to do? Yesh la'ayin. Yesh la'ayin. What Sfardim are going to do? So this is the approach of the Mishnah Brura, based on the above Taz, based on the Gemara of Anshei Tveria. Now, it should be noted, and this is going to be important, even though we're not going to run with this halacha lemaisa, there are some poskim that run with this halacha lemaisa, and they end up in very funny places in terms of the Mishnah Brura, vis-a-vis the eyes of Mishnah Brura, not that they're funny, chas v'chalila, but from the standard perspective of the Mishnah Brura, is that the Chazon Ish has a totally different worldview. The Chazon Ish's worldview is entirely different over here, and it starts from an analysis of the sugya. Kedarko Bekodesh, the greatest of the Achronim, we see this in Ramosha a lot, the greatest of the Poskim are the ones who started from the sugya again, and sometimes they end up in very different places because of kashas that they had that maybe the Mishnah Brura and others did not. Comes along the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish appears, we're going to read it inside when we get to the Hatban issue of the Suvit. The Chazon Ish is going to be important as well, but I don't like jumping to the contemporary issues. Much more important to understand the Mishneh Berurah and the basic shitas, and then in the end, we're for sure we have to apply the halacha. But it's important not to run to the hot button issues before doing the sugya well. So the Chazon Ish, yes. That the halacha is going to be hatmana if it's entirely submerged, and it's going to be mutter for the baby bottle if it's not submerged. But based on the Taz, we see this idea that there is going to be hatmana in an instance, even on Shabbos, if you have something that's entirely submerged. In other words, the fact that the kli is cooling down, that outer kli is cooling down, is not going to be important if you're doing it for a short period of time. So if you're going to get the job done, so then in such a case, that's going to be atmana. That's what emerges from the Taz, which is based on the Beis Yosef, explaining how one could put one kli on top of another on Erev Shabbos. Okay, so that's, isn't that hatmana b'davra mosif hevel? So far so good, Rabbosai, so far so clear, beautiful. Comes along the Chazon Ish and Lamed Zayin, Lamed Beis. I'm going to speak out the Chazon Ish, but it's kedai for you to go through this beautiful Chazon Ish. Beautiful, but wild. Comes along Maran HaChazon Ish, and he points out that there's really a stira between two sugyas. We have the sugya of Lamed Chesam Beis, the case of Maisa Antru Tveria, and then we have a beautiful, beautiful Gemara that's going to be very important for us in Hilchos Bishul, which is with a fascinating story with Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who went into the Merchatz after Rebbe. That appears on Mem Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Pam Achas Nechnasti Acha Rebbe Lebeis HaMerchatz, Ubikashti Laniach Lo Pachshol Shemen Bambati. And he asked me to put a jug of water into a utensil, a large utensil, but a utensil. You'll see shortly why I'm making a big deal about this, which was a bath. Va'amrli tul b'kli sheni, and he said, put it in a kli sheni, and then then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. If you take the water from the kli sheni, shma mina tlas, shma mina shemen yesh bo mishum vishal, so we're not going to discuss that now. Shma mina kli sheni and mevashal, that's really big, that we're not going to discuss now. Shma mina avshira zeh bishulo, and also when it comes to shemen, when you warm it up, that's a kol bishul. We're not going to discuss that now, so what are we going to discuss? We're going to discuss what's not in the Gemara. Says the Chazon Ish, wait a second. He asked him to submerge the kli into the hot water.
Can we just ask to see us in the case for a second?
Yes. He asked him to take a pach of shemen, put it into a kli sheni, so it removes his chill, so that when Rebbe puts it...
Of hot water.
That was the case. So to remove the chill, and thereby be able to use the shemen without the chill. So we're going to discuss all those details in Mirtzah Shem and Hilchos Bishul. The question is, what about Hatmana? What happened to Hatmana? So, the Chazon Ish says, you can't say that the issue about Hatmana was taken care of because of the fact that the Kli wasn't fully submerged, because I, says the Chazon Ish, already proved to you that the Halach is like the Mechaber, not like the Arama. The Hatmana b'miktsas is still considered Hatmana. So Chazon Ish feels very strongly, and I already pointed it out to you, not through the great eyes of the Chazon Ish, just through my eyes of reading the Beis Yosef. When you start the sugya of Hatmana b'miktsas, it's not clear where the Rama got his heter from. Ruba de Rishonim are not that way. But as I saw from the tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, this phrase was already coined, I think, by the Chassam Sofer. Uvnei Yisrael yoytzen b'yad Rama, that we follow the Rama, even when the Rama a lot of times is difficult. But the Chazon Ish doesn't always go with Uvnei Yisrael yoytzen b'yad Rama. He says, I learned up the sugya. Ruba de Rishonim are not this way. The Rama is difficult, and therefore Hatmana b'miktsas is aser. And we've mentioned that even the Orach HaShabbos and others take the Chazon Ish so seriously that when they talk about a hot plate, they try to be matzdik how a hot plate would be mutter in terms of Hatmana b'miktsas, even according to the Chazon Ish. So the bottom line is that the Chazon Ish doesn't like Hatmana b'miktsas. So if so, says the Chazon Ish, I'm stuck in this sugya. So Chazon Ish has a new heter. Chazon Ish says that there's no such thing of Hatmana when you have one kli inside of another. Remember how we learned up the sugya? You have the ambati, which is a kli, and then you put it into another kli, which has hot water. So that's not called hatmana. What was the case of the Silon Shalmayim? Over there, you've got these massive pipes going through Tveria. So then in such a case, that's called hatmana. That's not a kli. But when you have one kli that's holding another kli, in such a case, that's not going to be called hatmana. Take a look at Dvar of Kedoshim inside Lamed Zayin, Lamed Beis. That's a beautiful, beautiful yesod. Again, the Taz and the Mishavura don't paskin this way. Because they say you do have to be choshesh. What's the svara of the Chazon Ish? So this svara is going to actually be important for the technology of 2018. Comes along the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says, I'll tell you this svara. And here, Rav Haber from one of the Dayonim in Toronto, we're not rushing yet to his tshuva about the Suvit, but here we're gonna see it inside, spells this out beautifully, even though we're going to disagree with his usage of it, but he spells it out beautifully. He says the svara is as follows. Hatmana is when you have a utensil and you have something else that insulates it. So here you have a utensil and you have something else that's insulating it. When you have a kli, and that kli is holding two things. It's holding hot water, and then it's holding another baby bottle. That's not called hatmana. That's called cooking in a larger pot. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Ches, Simen Yud Zayin, says this in order to explain the following phenomenon. Remember we spoke about the Shaila of Kishka, or Kugel inside of Cholent, and we had Shlomo Zalman Zatzal's beautiful svara that Rav Nevenzahl told me not to worry about when my wife wraps it and puts it into the chalent. Why? Because he said the main reason she's wrapping it in the foil is not to do atmana. The main reason she's doing it is to separate between the kugel and the chalent. So in such a case, it's going to be mutter. So it says in Minchas Yitzchak, I'll give you another svara of why it's mutter. He says, in a case of where you're cooking both the cholent and the kishka together, in such a case, the cholent is not being matmin. That's not called hatmana. The cholent is not there to do hatmana. What you're doing is bishul in one kli. In one kli, you're doing bishul. So the Chazon Ish takes that svara that the Minchas Yitzchak likes in the case of the cholent, and he just expands it, makes it a lot bigger, and thereby he's miyashi the sugyas al pi darko, says the Chazon Ish, that in a case of where you have the shemen that you're putting inside of the kli that has hot water, that's not called hatman at all. What you're doing is you have this larger kli, and you have two kalim inside, this hasnish hatmana. And that's why it's mutter, not because of atmanu mixtus. I l'shitaso, says the Chazon Ish, holds atmanu mixtus is aser. But over here, this is not called atmanu. Now, Minchas Yitzchak in Chelech Ches, Simen Yud Zayin, quotes this psak of the Chazon Ish, and he just expands it, and he says that even though we might not pass like the Chazon Ish, but everybody would agree, in this case, that the svara is legitimate. Adkan, the issue of the svaras. Obviously, there are differences between the case of the bottle and the case of the kishka. Ayin Shum, in the Minchas Yitzchak, explains that he thinks that even though we pass him like the Taz, nevertheless, he thinks that when it comes to the chont, it's also going to be mutter. Okay. Yes, Rav David. Very poshut. When it comes to the Silon, here what we're talking about, we're not talking about, that's why I brought in the Minchas Yitzchak. When you're talking about something that is a kedera, and as, you know, we spoke about kedera, agave kedera, now we're going to coin a new phrase. Kedera betoch kedera, right? So kedera betoch kedera is not considered hatmana. In the words of the Minchas Yitzchak, that's all called derech bishul. That's all called derech bishul. It's the normal way for someone to cook. In contrast, when it comes to the Silon Shel Tzon and the Toch Ama Shel Mayim, you're not going to say that's Derech Bishul. That's not Derech Bishul. That's not the normal way to cook, that you cook both the Cholent and the Kishka together. That's not Derech Bishul. And therefore, if you don't have a way to codify it aside from Derech Bishul, so then in such a case, it falls into the case of Hatmana. Then in such a case, you're using the hot water to be matmin the cold water. Yes, Rav Shmuel.
So the
Chazon
should say it's Derech Bishul to take a baby bottle and stick it in hot water.
The Chazon Ish says it's not called Hatmana. It's not called Hatmana. Now, the reason why it's permissible to take the baby bottle there is if you're going to take the baby bottle out before it's going to reach the stage of Bishul, or it can never reach the stage.
Doesn't the Shura say
that you shouldn't, that you were afraid that you're not in there too? Right. Enoch Hanami. He has the chashash depending on the heat of the hot water. Nachon.
Can I just clarify that?
Yes.
In the Sivan, is the water running through, or is it, the Sivan is like a tube that's closed, and you put the water in, cold water in the hot water?
I'm not. You could come up and draw it. Draw your two possibilities. David is a teacher himself.
No,
so,
no, is the water running through like this?
Yes.
Or this is closed and it's a closed.
The Rishonim and the Achronim discussed that. They discussed that because of the Shailav Hatmana B'miktsas. In other words, why don't we say that it's Hatmana B'miktsas if it's going in through and through? So that there is a discussion within the Achronim. Either way, I don't think we're meshubid to. I think you could learn either way.
And that's because the amma is not a pot.
Exactly, the amma is not. Is not considered a pot, and therefore it's going to be. It's going to be.
What?
Yeah.
The pot. What is it?
So let's take a look in your booklet. We'll see the way the Ran quotes Tosas. It's really a Tosas going on from Lamed Tes on days to Lamed Aleph. I didn't photocopy enough of the Ran. It's Yud Ches Amid Aleph, but it goes on to Yud Ches Amid Beis. So he just starts quoting Tosos. Avol B'Tosos Amru, you just have the last line over there. I'll read you, they're going on to the next part. Avol B'Tosos Amru Dovar Amu'ur Lo Shaycha Hatmana. If you have cold and hot water, that's not subject to Hatmana. El Silon Zeha Yo'over B'Tocha Ama U'Piv Yotze L'Chutz. So the simple reading, according to address your question, Rav David, is that it goes out, and the water, in other words, the water starts out cold over here, it goes through the Chamei Tveria, by the time it comes out, it's significantly hotter. Again, whether everybody's going to agree with that in terms of the Shitas of Hatman and B'miktas, that's going to be a different issue. But the Pashtus of the Ran is that's how the round learns. Okay, so far so good, Rabosai? Good. All right. In Kenim Advarim, so then, as we pointed out, in regards to Shalons, we have another heter. And that heter would be that if you have an item that is inside of a cooking pot, in such a case, there, it's hard to imagine to look at the chalent as being anything but something else that's cooking along with it. Now, the poskim, though, are mechalek, according to the Minchas Yitzchak, between, and this appears in Rav Karp Sefer, I did not photocopy this for you, this is in Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, Perek Aleph Oschaf, that it might make a difference of whether the kugel has been cooked beforehand or not. In other words, if the kugel has already been cooked, so then in such a case, it's hard to say that the kugel is just simply cooking in a larger pot. But if the kugel has not been cooked, so then in such a case, Rav Karp there is mechalek between those two instances. Because Aruch HaShulchan seems to be machmir in such a case. You don't have to be machmir, but based on an Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Karp suggests that nafkamina. I would say, instead of dealing with these svaras, before I take your questions, instead of dealing with these subtle svaras, halacha lemaisa, what I would recommend is just use Rav Shlomo Zalman's basic svara. And that is, that if the primary reason that you're not putting it, that you're putting it in its casing, whether it be a tin foil or anything like that, so that it doesn't mix, you're already home free. I think that's a lot smoother of a heter than to be mefalpel within the heter of Derech Bishul. Now, when we get to a sous vide, we're going to have to eventually come back to it. But in terms of when it comes to the case of a cholent and so on, better go with the Rav Shlomo Zalman Svara. That's a beautiful Svara. It's rooted in Reishon and Ches Beis. We have Mefurish over there, Lashamra. So if you have something that you're doing Lashamra, so then in such a case it's Mutter. I wouldn't run into playing with that Svara and take a look at Rav Karp over there in Aleph Chaf. Yes?
Sure.
Even
according to Rav Karp, isn't the kugel put in to get the flavor of the challah?
So that there's room to argue.
Yafeh.
Okay, see, enochanami. Rav Mati argues that there's a lot of room to say that you want to cook it with the challah. Nachon? I think a lot of my kids ask my wife before they eat whether this is the kugel inside of the challah, or whether or not a different child might have strong, everybody has a strong feeling in one direction or the other. But definitely there is something to be said about the effect. Nachal, that would be a helpful swara, right?
Also, according to Chazanish, could you say a crack pot is a kli, a self kli? Kli is the outside element as a kli.
Rosh Hashanah would not like that at all. He says that is the derech of cooking. I see. You're saying because the derech bishul. That Derech Bishul makes, I see what you're saying, that Derech Bishul makes it that this is the Kli B'Sol HaKli. Okay, I don't like to comment on things that I haven't thought about before.
There's nothing else in that Kli, right?
Right, there's nothing else in that
Kli. It's the only thing in the Kli.
Right.
As opposed to the case of the
Nechal, that's the chiluk between the two. Nechal. And that's a significant chiluk. Nechal. Oh, it's more to handle within the base matters. Yeah.
And just to add on to that, what about if you want to put the plastic lining inside of the crock pot? Would that also make a difference?
The plastic lining, in other words, inside of the pot, the chura, that would be an example of something that would qualify as derech bishul. There, the Minchas Yitzchak, the way of Usher Weiss, Shlita understood it, was that the Minchas Yitzchak has a svara. The way Rav Asher Weiss understands Minchas Yitzchak, that the little bit of kishka has a little bit of plastic around that's insignificant entirely. So that would also be a reason to be makel. But maybe there also you have that a little bit of that svara of derech bishul. But it's not going to help us with the outer thing. I think Rav David's point is you're helping us only within the pot itself. If you had different things within the pot itself, but once you've got the outer thing that is clearly a davar hamatmin, so. The inside one is not going to be a problem. People, I think, use that so this way it's easier to, the pot doesn't get as dirty, right? So, but I think it won't help us on the outside level. Top. All right. Rav Ribiat also says this svara beautifully. If you take a look at page 629, let's just see it crunched beautifully over there. Rav Ribiat is making the little is crunching the Minchas Yitzchak. It's a hard shuva of the Minchas Yitzchak to read. And in fact, the first time I read Rav Asher Weiss, I wasn't sure exactly how he got it from the Minchas Yitzchak. Of course, both Rav Ribiat and Rav Asher Weiss know what they're talking about. So I figure instead of photocopying the Minchas Yitzchak to see it, the crunch in Rav Ribiat, leaving chalent kishke inside the pot while wrapped in foil is also permitted, even if the kishke is completely submerged in the stew. And then he gives two svaras. The second svara is the one I would like to use, halakha l'maisa. And then the first svara is this brilliant svara. This is classified as derech bishul and not derech hakwana, since the kishke was raw or undercooked when the shalom was beginning to cook, is regarded merely as part of the food that is cooking and not a separate food item. And the point is that even though we don't follow the Chazon Ish l'halacha, the first one to say this svara was the Chazon Ish. We're developing his shita about why it's going to be permissible to heat up a baby bottle outside, as Rav Shmuel astutely pointed out, outside of Chashus Abishal, which we'll have to get to when we learn Hilchos Bishal, but that already comes from that. It's a classic moment where you have a brilliant Chazon Ish that's entirely not the minhag for most. I would imagine Rav Chaim Kanievsky follows this Chazon Ish, doesn't do Hatman of the Miktzas, but most don't follow this Chazon Ish L'maisa. It's against the Beferish Ramah, but here every Chazon Ish is important because when he develops the Svara, so then usually the Chazon Ish doesn't say Stam Svara. So usually when the Chazon Ish has a Svara, it's a Svara that is very much thought out. Which brings us to the Shaila of the Suvit. So I have a very dear Talmud from my first year in teaching here in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Adam Simon. He's a Rebbe in California. And he, I don't know if Rav Yisrael, you remember this, but in our chat, we have a chat with older Talmudim. If anybody wants to join, it's a pleasure. So Adam Simon sent in sent in. He had already learned the sugya. He wanted to challenge the guys in the chat. What do they think? Halach lamaisa? Is there any way to be matir a suvit? So I had no idea. By the way, suvit is spelled, and it's a French word. S-O-U-S-V-I-D-E. I had no idea what he was talking about. Absolutely no idea. To which I told him, there's no way I could respond at all, because I have no idea what this thing is. And then when I heard what it was, it sounded like complicated shaylos. I said, we're going to have to wait a while till we get to Hatmana. Rav Adam analyzed the sugya well, and I wasn't being much of a help for him, so he went to a person who would be a great help, and that is someone who visited just yesterday in yeshiva, and I was excited to discuss the sugya with him. He immediately emailed Rav Aryeh Leibowitz, and he presented to Rav Aryeh Leibowitz the reason why he thought that there's room to be makel, to which Rav Aryeh Leibowitz immediately, I did not know about the second shuva, which I also feel personally connected to, and Rav Aryeh Leibowitz immediately sent back to him. He was, of course, holding, and he immediately sent back to him a kuntris by Rav Yaakov Haber from Toronto that seemed to say Rav Adam Svara to be matir. Then Rav Yehuda Avner just told me that Rav Asher Weiss, I was unaware, had a tshuva, and I was thrilled to see it was to my old chavrusa, your Rav, and that's Rav Ari Zatz. So that's the second part of this set of photocopies. I'm actually not going to focus as much on Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva. It's a little bit more terse, and he doesn't develop as much. I'm going to use Rav Haber's essay, and we're going to see that he basically uses the two fundamental svaras that we've been playing with the whole time. Lulei sarascha shashuay hazavadati va'oni. Mamish, these two beautiful svaras that we've been using so much in Hilchos Hatmana, Rav Haber tries to use to be matir the suvit. To give you a heads up of where we're going, from what I understand, I discussed this with Rav Leibowitz yesterday. Actually, as of yesterday, I told Rav Leibowitz that I thought that it was usser. Based on what his first svara, I thought that there was a big hole in his first svara, and then I saw that he had another svara for another instance, and I discussed it with Rav Nevensal today, and I think his second svara is much more helpful. Rav Asher Weiss also alludes to this svara, but somehow he comes out l'chumra anyhow. Okay, so here goes. Number one, on page 90 in this Kuntres Yidei Moshe.
Could you just explain what is?
Okay, yes. All right. As much as I understand, we in Ramat Beit Shemesh are not cooking in such an advanced way yet, but eventually everybody is going to cook. A suvit works, thank you for stopping me. A suvit works in the following way. I actually have a suffix and one thing in the Metzius that maybe will help you. Food is placed in a plastic bag, okay? That plastic bag is submerged in water. The water is heated up to a very particular temperature. Now, the quality, what's unique about the sous vide is that, unlike an oven or other modes of cooking, you're able to maintain that temperature, that exact temperature, for an extended period of time. Okay. So what happens is, when the advantage of why sous vide cooking is becoming so popular today is what happens is the phenomenon that our wives, we've suffered with our wives, in other words, in their pain, that, oh yeah, I forgot to turn the oven off and I burnt it, that really doesn't take place in a sous vide. Because the heat never gets too hot, and it'll turn itself off at a particular time. Now, the other advantage of the sous vide is that, in contrast to oven cooking and pot cooking, where the outside gets hotter and the inside is a lot harder to cook, because, and someone could explain, help me already, this already gets into the physics, because it's done in a vacuum packed manner, the heat actually is, the first thing comes to mind is the Hebrew word, is mitpashet. The heat is distributed evenly throughout the food. So that's a unique phenomenon that's been introduced in the 21st century that did not exist up until now. So that's the phenomenon of the sous vide. Now, to turn it on Shabbos, even if you weren't doing electricity, let's say cooking through chemicals. We're going to discuss, I'll allude to it briefly when we start Hilchos Bishul, even if you were going to heat up the water without fire, the minhag is to be machmir about Bishul as far as that's concerned. On Erev Shabbos, here we have the Shaila. Are you allowed to set up, or Amira al-Nakhri, which I'm not going to get involved with, Rav Haber deals a lot with that because this has become a very popular form of cooking for caterers as well. By the way, I just, before Shir, usually I prepare the marmakomas. Before Shir today, I was just looking up all the different websites on sous vide and learning as much as possible I could about how it works. They brag about why sous vide cooking is so important. I didn't know this. They said the difference between rare meat, who knows, if you like your meat rare, versus medium rare, is a difference of 3 degrees. So I really feel bad for the cooks at once upon a time fancy restaurants to be able to get that right throughout the entire piece of meat. But once you have a sous vide, so then everything is taken care of. You put it in, this is the temperature. Temperature is moderate. And again, the other maila is that it cooks throughout the entire piece of meat evenly. That's why it's become very popular. It's a cheap, it's a cheap invention. It's now, from what I saw on the websites, you could buy it now for $50, $60, $70. Yes, any consumer warnings?
The gift on the bags, right? You have to buy more bags to make the bags aren't reusable.
Uh-huh.
So that's where you spend the money.
That's where they make the money off you. Although I saw a pilpul over there that some said that you could use regular plastics, that there's a whole pilpul.
Yeah, it's a muffler.
That.
The Rebbe's in
the right. So, right. Their big quince also is that they claim that there's absolutely no evidence that the plastic is in any way dangerous, which was chasing people away from it for a long time, was the plastics, and there's a lot of chokrim now. There are millions of dollars that are being spent right now to prove that the plastic is not dangerous. The question is whether someone out there is spending millions to prove that the plastic is dangerous. But at the end of the day, this is the process. Okay, so comes along Rav Haber on page 90, and he quotes the Chazon Ish from the beginning to the end. And he points out that L'chura, this Chazon Ish would be a beautiful heter. So if you take a look on page 90 in the Yedei Moshe, Omnam Adayin Yesh Lodun, again, I'm indebted to Rav Leibowitz for this Maramakom. He quotes there the Chazon Ish, and then he said, starting with, maybe the Suvit should be Asar Dut Ha'atmana, and then he has a beautiful crunch as well of the Chazon Ish. Biradvar mikivan deshnei mispashim biyachad b'tzir echad. Whenever you have two things that are cooking in one pot, v'nitzrachem le'esh achas, azay shein k'der achas, v'shein tavshel echad aleyem v'lo mikriya t'mana. So he says as follows. When you have the sous vide that's cooking you have an outer pot, and then you have the food inside that bag, so then in such a case, you have two things that are cooking at once. If you have two things that are cooking at once, in such a case, it's going to be derech bishul. Now, he loves this. He just has a technical question with the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Karp. And maybe you have, Rav Mati's Eitz is not going to work in the case of sous vide, because there you're not allowed to puncture the bag. So then in such a case, it's not going to be an Eitzah. And then he introduces a second svar because of the problem that will only work for Kugel that has already been, that has not been cooked, but kugel that's already been cooked, that's going to be a problem. Yes, Rav Yaakov?
We're just explaining why it's not a visual issue.
Because you set up before Shabbos. You started the cooking before Shabbos.
You put it in before Shabbos.
Put it in before Shabbos, right. You would not be able to do it on Shabbos itself, according to most poskim. There is a discussion, halacha l'maisa, what happens if one needs to cook in Shabbos in a case of real tzorach? Is there an advantage of cooking through non-conventional ways of cooking? That we're going to discuss. But our case that we're discussing is that you set it up, that you started the Maisa Bishul already on Erev Shabbos itself. So now you've got to discuss is Shia, Hafzar, and Hatmana. That's all you need to discuss. Yeah?
So he's assuming here that the water in the pot is like a machal of its own right. Nobody's going to drink that water.
That's what bothers me. Exactly. That's what bothers me. L'chura, I don't like this. In my smallness, and think about this for a week. This I thought about for a week. I was quite unhappy with Rav Haber. That's what I expressed to Rav Leibowitz yesterday. I thought that the chiluk is not legitimate at all. The hainu, the case of the Minchas Yitzchak. He makes reference to this Minchas Yitzchak. The case of the Minchas Yitzchak and the case of the Chazon Ish are cases in which you are being mevashel two things at once with the intention to be mevashel them, and we explained the svara, it was crunched so beautifully by Rabbi Ribiak. The svara is that you have one utensil that's cooking two things. That's not called atmana. Now come on, are you really going to try to convince me that in this case your goal is to cook water and the meat? This is very reminiscent of Amevin Yavin to the Kedera Blach. Very reminiscent to that. But let me just explain what it seems to me what you're doing. What you're doing over here is the follows. You're creating a system of heat. You're cooking, it's true. You are cooking the meat that's inside of the bag. But at the same time, the way in which you're cooking that meat inside of the bag is through a hatmana process. If you wouldn't have the hatmana, then in such a case, then you wouldn't get the desired result. And therefore, it seems to me that when you're heating up the water, your intention is not to be mevashel the water, simply to be mevashel the water. Your intention is to create a hatmana phenomenon. That's very different of when you're cooking the chalent inside of the pot. You're cooking the chalent inside of the pot, and you're also cooking kishka, and it happens to be that there's hatmana that's taking place. There seems to be a very, very big difference between the two. And if you take a look at Rav Asher Weiss's Shlita's tshuva in the back of our booklet, you'll see that Rav Asher Weiss raises this issue that we had said. I'm not going to read it inside, but I'll just give you the exact page where he mentions this. It's on page number 2 in Rav Asher's tshuva, towards the bottom. Echad yesh lahachmir, that he says that's a reason over here to be more machmir. However, by the way, the reference to the kedei reblach, of course, is that this seems to be a classic mode where you're using water, heating up water, and to say that you've gotten out of a problem. Because remember, we discussed that there was a suggestion to put. To make a blech that had hot water inside, say that was a keder al gavik. You got to be serious of whether you're really being mevashel the water. What could be is that someone could come up with some etzas, find something nice to cook inside over there, to find some type of soup that you're cooking over there, and then to be cooking the meat inside. Then maybe in such a case, you would be able to use that svar. I don't know with the
machine would work.
With the machine, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work with the machine.
The whole Raya, right? If you put the kishka in the crock pot without any chalent, it wouldn't cook the way you wanted it to. But it would still cook. If you put the meat in the sous vide machine, didn't put water in,
nothing
would happen.
Exactly.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, that's a good Raya. However, I do think that there's an yes, Mr. Well, Rebecca.
Is this Rav Haber's vehicle based off the Chazon?
Yes.
Wasn't
very good. Very good. So there's another problem with this. You stop me. And that is that the Chazon Ish himself, I'm not sure if this is what you were driving at, Chazon Ish himself is not a Liba de Hilchasa. In other words, the Chazon Ish's own Shita we don't follow. So to hang it just on the Chazon Ish would be a little bit difficult. But the answer to that is that the basic svar of the Chazon Ish already appears in the Minchas Yitzchak, and the Minchas Yitzchak, even though he says that you can't apply it to baby bottles, but at least to the kishka case, you would. So then the question is whether this is like the kishka case. You meant to say something a little different?
Yeah.
Okay.
To respond to Rabbi and Ben's okay. Minchas Nisha's case where you're not drinking that water either, and it's still okay.
The shemel is being put in water, but we're using that
right.
water.
Right. Nachon. But there, I still think that there is a difference. I think there's a difference still between the two cases. First of all, Lushitasi, I'm not going with the Chazon Ish. I'm going with Minchas Yitzchak. That's Svara. Rabbi Ribiak. What I showed you was that the Chazon Ish was the first to introduce that Svara, but we don't paskin like the Chazon Ish Halacha. Rav Ben Narsh asked me the same question that you're asking now. But we don't follow, and he himself said that, at the end of the day, we don't follow the Chazon Ish's Shita. And therefore, the halacha is that we're going to be machmir in a case of where you have hot water that's for the baby bottle. So at the end of the day, you can't bring a raya from the Chazon Ish because we are machmir vis-a-vis the Taz. That's why I'm using particularly the Minchas Yitzchak Tzisod, more Rabbi Ribiak's Hakdara. than the Chazon Ish's Hagdara. But you're right. You're mechavi to what Ben Arsh told me, and we both agreed, Eina Chanami, according to the Chazon Ish, that wouldn't be a problem. But at the end of the day, we don't follow that Chazon Ish, halacha, we follow the Mishnah Berurah.
I'll say, the case of the Gemara, Chazon Ish is talking about, is he wants to put it in the bathtub. The bathtub is hot for toilets besides heating up the oil. It's not the heat of the bathtub and already doing it. He's taking a bath. It's a bathhouse. It's not
okay, but now, all right, so the question is, where do you draw the line? Yeah. Okay, where do you draw the line? Maybe there's room to draw a line. Okay, yesh the foul pill. There is room for pill there.
This will be any different than a baby bottle.
Exactly, that was Rabbi Yaakov. That's Rabbi Yaakov's point. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's a sharp point. Yeah.
I think I missed it. How is the Minchas Yitzchak different?
The difference between the Chazon Ish and the Minchas Yitzchak is they're both evoking the same svara. But the Chazon Ish holds that anytime you have anything inside of a k'teira, it's mutter. Right? Anytime you have anything inside of a k'teira, Chazon Ish holds it's mutter. There's no such thing as hatmana b'tocha k'teira, period. The Minchas Yitzchak says, when you have two things inside of a k'teira and you're doing bishul on it, then it's not hatmana. He doesn't say anything inside a kli is not hatmana. You're right. According to that, that would be... Rav Yaakov's point is correct. Rav Chaim Kanievsky could be made on the sous-vide. It's a fascinating phenomenon. I never crunched it that way for myself. That's a very... So, I went... as amongst my Talmid, it's a little bit of a famous story that I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and I spoke about a very difficult Rajba that I was stuck on. He knew the Rajba right away. He answered me right on the spot. And then I had one more question. And that was, what bracha do you make on schnitzel? We were learning brachos at the time. So Chaim said to me, mazeh schnitzel. He asked me what schnitzel was. So the funny thing is, I had prepared an answer, a response, follow-up question for if you said mizonos, I had a follow-up question. If you said chocolate, I had a follow-up question. But I wasn't prepared for that answer. So I would imagine if you would tell him that it's a sous-vide, he would not know what we were talking about. But l'chura... It would be something to ask him that whether, according to the Chazon Ish, you're making a very sharp point, according to the Chazon Ish, it would come out mutter. Okay, but at the end of the day, it doesn't fit within the Minchas Yitzchak Svara. And since it doesn't fit within the Minchas Yitzchak Svara, so then what emerges is that there's room, L'chura, to be Machmir in that case. However, he doesn't mention on page 91, and this I do like, and Rav Neiman Saul also agreed, that... to use Rav Shlomo Zalman's Svara. And that is, at the end of the day, and this, you could also be mefalpa with, Rav Asher Weiss wasn't convinced 100% with this Svara, and that is that if you're going to say that the container over here, the plastic, is there basically to separate between the two, to separate between the hot water and the meat, so it's there to be shown there, the meat. So then in such a case, then you don't look, there's no hatmana here. You ignore that. There's no davar hamatman here.
Isn't the water the...
Just a second. So then it's like having water, it's like having meat inside of the water, inside of a pot. So where's the hatmana? So you're right. The water is doing hatmana, but now you're doing regular cooking. So now the only shaila you have is what Shmuel and Mikey came over to me yesterday and asked me about, and as regards to Hachzara. Those were the two, that's the only other issue you're going to have. And Hachzara, he also takes care of that there's probably not going to be considered Mexican Mevashel. Let me rephrase that. The only shy you're going to have, let me start, erase what I just said. Shmuel and Mikey came over to me, and they pointed out that in the last thing that I had photocopied for you in booklet number 3, was that he raised the issue about doing Hachzara on Shabbos, and I said to them that most of the times that we're discussing is actually only a Shaila of Shihiyah, and Eina Chinami, when it comes to Hachzara, then you might have a problem with Mechzikim Evashel, as he goes on to raise. But in most instances, we're not talking about doing it on Shabbos. Anytime we're talking about someone who puts it in on Shabbos, there are many other host of Shailas that are involved, which Rav Haber goes on to discuss, but we're going to focus only on the Shihiya and Hatmana part. The Hachzara part might be a problem. And you could go on and take a look and see. So once again, to crunch, there are two Svaras that Rav Haber suggests. The first one being the idea based on the Chazon Ish, and Eina Chanami, as Rav Yaakov pointed out, according to the Chazon Ish, there's room to say that it's inside of a kli, there's no such thing as Hatmana. But if you're going to follow the way we follow according to the Taz, that says that the halacha is that you're not allowed to put a bottle to submerge it entirely inside of water. So the reason why there it's considered usur is because we don't say that the kedera is cooking two things. It's very different from the case of the kedera with the chont and the kushka inside. We have the chont and kushka inside. There's room to say that everything is here as one bishul process. To say that there's one bishul process over here, that's very, very difficult because everybody knows that you're putting the water there in order to submerge it. On the other hand, if you go with the second svara, and that's what Rav Haber suggests on page 91, there I hear, and this, if you're going to use Rav Shlomo Zalman's svara, and I discussed it with Rav Nevenzel today, he agreed as well that he thinks that there's room to be matir based in this regard. And then Rav Nevenzel told me a wild chidush. I have a little bit of trepidation to quote it, but I went back and I asked him again, and this is more lahagdil toru ladir and not halach lamaisa. This is lahagdil toru ladir because I'm very, very careful that what gets out in his name, what I can help, should be 100% should be 100% accurate. I introduce a question. Anybody who knows how these Sufis work, I had heard, I think Rav Adam Simon had told me originally, that some sous-vides work as a chemical reaction. In other words, not through heat. But from what I've seen on the websites, is that it seems to be that the water generally is heated up. Most people heat up on the fire, and they pour the hot water into the sous-vide. Is that correct?
The one
I've seen, my mother-in-law uses it all the time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Makes it delicious meat.
Okay.
It's an insert.
It's an insert.
You fill up a pot of water, and you stick this thing, and you hang it onto the side.
Okay.
The heating element is in the water, and that heats up the whole pot.
Okay.
Which is electric.
Okay, so that's electric, and how you heat up the water is, as I assumed, is it all depend how you heat up the water. I was under the impression.
It's not right. I think that thing heats up the water.
Yeah.
That was a deal
that I saw on the websites where the best thing is to heat up the water. What's the fastest way to do it? Okay. But either way, it's an electric element that's heating it up. Okay. My impression was, and it seems like Rav Nevenzel, he also asked me this, whether it was heated up through chemicals. Because he suggested the following, that if the water is not heated up al yidei esh, however you define esh, it seemed to me that he had heard this shaila before. If the water is not heated up by the esh, he wanted to suggest something similar that Rav Mati had asked on from Chacham Avadia. Then in such a case, it's not called Hatmana B'Dover Amosef Hevel, because itself, it wasn't through esh, and therefore, it would not be a problem of Gzerah Shem Yatmin B'Remetz. The only time he says that your Choshesh or Gzerah Shem Yatmin B'Remetz is if in itself the Hatmana item itself resembles something that's Matmin Beremetz. But if it's not something that you normally you do Beremetz, it doesn't resemble Remetz at all. For example, a chemical reaction, then that would be another tzad to be makel. But it would seem to me that if, at the end of the day, A, you heat it up on a stovetop, in a kettle, whether it's an electric kettle, so then in such a case that would seem to have a din eish bepashtus. I'll have to go back again and ask Rav Nevenzel. Maybe he thought that even electricity might not have the regular din esh, but that would be mechudash. And then, if you heat it up through the contraption that you described, that you put it inside the water, so then in such a case, if you consider that esh, so then Rav Nevenzel's heter is not going to work. If you don't consider that esh, so then and you heated up the water in such a case, then Rav Nevenzel is suggesting another type of heter. So when he asked me how the water is heated up, and I said to him that there was, and this is how it was originally reported to me before I saw it, was that it was heated up through a chemical reaction. So then, in such a case, that there's room to be makel. And then again, you need to be mefalpel. How do you look at this? This electric piece, is that considered something that would be akin to something that's mosif hevel? That's very similar to what we saw in Chacham Avadia's tshuva, that depends on what the type of mosif hevel it is, of whether you're choshesh or shema yatmin beremetz. But Rav Nevenzel did have a pesach in that regard. Linnaeus Daiti, if the world is maskim, to use Rav Shlomo Zalman's Svara, and that is what Rav Haber runs in, there's a lot of room to be made. We'll take a look at the end of the day. Interestingly, Rav Asher Weiss mentions the Svara, but ultimately he's not willing to paskin to be Mako. I guess the news for today is that Rav Nevin Sel felt that that was enough to be, that Svara is enough to be Mako with. Yeah?
According to the second Svara, what's the problem in the Mishnah on Daf or the Daf Lamentesam Beis?
Lamentesam Beis, right? Lamed. Yeah. Right. You're right. Islam Chesam Beis. Nachon. Yeah.
So what's the pshat in the Mishnah according to the second Mahalach? Isn't that also the same? What's the difference? I don't see the difference.
In other words, why is that not considered Lishmor?
Right.
Why is that not considered Lishmor?
I don't see the difference.
Because
they're doing that.
Because it's not in one kli. In other words, the time in which you have the heter is where you're it's considered as if it's in one entity. It's in one thing. And then so that you don't have one food mishing with the other, then in such a case it's not going to be considered that one is being mapped in the next.
But why isn't that the case for mishing? That's what I don't understand.
Because it's not one kli. In other words, the heter over there is still based on the idea that what you're doing is you're simply being mevashel those things. Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase your question. What's the difference? You're not asked. Let's. It's always good to get back to the basic sugyas. You're not really asking me what's the difference between a suvit and the case of the Mishnah. What you're really, really asking, if you think of the Omeka Sugya, you're really asking what's the difference of Lushomro Minhach Barim and the case in the Mishnah. Once we formulate the difference between Lushomro Minhach Barim and the Mishnah, then ultimately that will give us a chiluk between Rav Shlomo Zalman's case and that case. And so let's formulate it. Lushomro Minhach Barim means that you have a pot. And you're being matman, and you're covering it entirely to be shomer from achbarim. Your motivation is not to create any hatmana. That's the teretz of shomer min achbarim. So that's different than the Mishnah, of course, where clearly you're putting it in that context to be able to get the heat from the chamit tveria. In a case of where, now let's come to Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter. Shlomo Zalman's heter is, Shlomo Zalman says that you're allowed to put silver foil wrapping the kugel. The reason why silver foil is mutter to wrap the kugel is because really you're interested in all of them cooking together. Silver foil, or Shlomo Zalman may make on silver foil, any type of davar hamatmin, that's not considered hatmana because it's considered one thing that's all really, really together. It's all one thing. So what we're suggesting as well is that, yeah, the plastic bag is just there so it doesn't mix together. That's what it's doing. It suggests it doesn't mix. So it's really a sous vide. It's really a regular pot. But you can't say that the Mei Tveria is a pot on the Silon. It's not the relationship that you have there. So l'chura, that would be. It's a good question. It's important for us to go back and to take the sugya apart. But l'nias daiti, that's the answer. So the chakira is a suvit the pot or not? Is the suvit the pot for the meat that's cooking inside? That would be the chakira. That would seem to be the chakira over here. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, we're not sure yet. Not necessarily. You would still have to be done on Shehiya. In other words, the only Shaila that he's dealing with is saying that it's not considered. It's not considered a Maisa Hatmana. But you would then have to go back and say what is the halacha on Shehiya in a case that's not the it's not the fire. Let's say I see what you're saying. You're saying that once you have a chemical reaction, so then that's not going to be the chashu shihiyo altogether. Nachon. Anyhow, presumably there's a lot of reasons to be makel for shihiyo for other reasons. The hachzar is going to be the the bigger concern. In other words, it's really not much of a concern of Shem Yichat B'Gachon. But you're right. There's no Pshash Shem Yichat B'Gachon. You know where it'll help you. Now, it took me a while to chap a little bit of what you're saying. You know where, if you go with the point, where it will help a lot is if you hold Hachzara is Shem Yichat B'Gachon and not Metzikim Lash. If you went like Rav Shechter and Rav Willink. So then, in such a case, then there's room to say that you don't have that Pshash Hashem. Then you don't have that Pshash Hashem Yichata if it wouldn't be considered an Ishmanish. And that would solve what we didn't discuss, and that's Rav Haber's point about the Mexican Lashal, the next issue that I photocopied for you, by the way. Booklet number 3, I didn't have it, but that would take care of that. Okay, there's one more thing that I did not do that's on the Marim Mekomos, but you could do on your own. It's straightforward, a little bit of a stira of Mishnah Berurah. What happens if you're being matman one kedera that is mutter to be matman, and then you have another kedera? There's a stira of Mishnah Berurah about that. You could take a look at that on your own. That's straightforward. And b'siyata d'shmaya on Monday we will begin Hilchos Bishul. I started writing quiz questions as per request of some of the Talmidim. And if anybody wants to come over to me, I start writing a few. Anybody else who wants to write also can. And for Hilchos Bishul, just to give you a sense, if for whatever reason you don't get the Maror Mekomos before Shabbos, and you want to start over Shabbos, we're not going to begin with Shin Yud Ches from the first Se'if. As I mentioned previously, we're going to start with Se'if Gimel. And then Shin Yud Ches Aleph and Beis. I remember the first when I was a little younger than you, when I tried to learn Hilchos Bishul, I got tripped up because I didn't know. It's so important to have some type of structure when you learn topics that are a little more complicated, because the first two Se'ifim are a separate world of Maaseh Shabbos. In fact, we just had in Daf Yomi, in Chulin on Daf Tezvav. It's an entirely different world, which is connected to what we spoke about Maaseh Shabbos, as Shi'at Zar and Atmana, but is really not the basic halachos of Bishul. So the way to start is to go from Sif Gimel, and we'll go Keseder, Blinader. As now it seems, we'll go Keseder, starting from Sif Gimel. And these are beautiful, beautiful sugyas. And now we get into the Surei D'Oraisa. We get back to what the Chavetz Chaim describes as Hilchos Shabbos, Tzluyin Kahar Keseder Bahar. These halachos are mamish. When you go a little bit to the left, you have Heter Gomer. You go a little bit to the right, and that's an Isur D'Oraisa. So we're actually, in a way, we're moving up in our stakes, because up until now we've been talking about Gzeres Midrabanan, and now we're going to deal with Isur D'Oraisa.
Yes. Two things I didn't follow. One, everything we were just saying was